Hello and welcome back to In Bed with Lucy Season 4, the raw and uncensored place where we're free to discuss the nitty-gritties of the adult industry. Everything I discuss is of my own opinion and does not reflect on the community at large, as everyone experiences sex work differently. This podcast is rated R18+ and may contain explicit language, make reference to sexual assault, drug and alcohol, self-harm, domestic violence, and other triggers not limited to the previous mention. If this doesn't fit, then kindly stop now. For everyone else, let's get this party started.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, theys, thems, fuckers, and fuckettes. How are you this fine, fabulous day, evening, afternoon, whatever it is that you're listening to at this time of day? I hope you've all been well. And I'd firstly like to apologize for the fact that it's taken me so long to actually produce these podcasts and have them released. But, you know, mummy's got things to do, and this will potentially be my final season of podcasts. So enjoy them while they last. So today, what will we be talking about? That is a very good question. Today we'll be talking about boundary pushers and toxic industry peers. I also will add a couple of extra topics in this podcast. It'll be quite an eclectic view of things. I will also be following up on my stalker story. So lucky you, buckle up and let's get started. Okay, so I interviewed a lot of sex workers in this time since my last podcast, and I've gathered a lot of stories about their experiences in the industry when it came to clients, when it came to engaging with other sex workers, as well as personal experiences. So I'm not going to define who actually told these stories or, you know, how they came along. Each story comes from a different source. I will also be doing it on the fly because I interviewed these people on the phone and I wrote everything in shorthand, classic Lucy style. So I'm going to have to read back through my notes as I go and figure out the whole story. So let's go. So we're going to start off today's podcast on boundary pushers. So we have a few stories to talk about boundary pushers. And the first story was this girl had a client, and on the initial booking process, the manipulation process commenced. So this client played, you know, the sweet, charming, educated young man, and he proceeded with the very first interaction with her would be to gift her a $500 gift and then try and win her over with that. She had actually mentioned that she felt like the manipulation with this client started from the very first moment that he contacted her. And because she had received that actual initial gift, she felt like she needed to give the client something for that. Now, before I continue on with this story, if anyone gives you anything, it is actually classed as a tip. It is not payment for services. It is extra. It's not classed as you owe them anything for this. So what happened was, you know, she had been seeing this particular client over a long period of time, and she actually started to feel like he was attempting to push her boundaries as well as chip away at her confidence and give subliminal messages to her in order for her to feel, I guess, somewhat low on herself. Because if a client can actually diminish your confidence and diminish your self-esteem, then they have a higher probability of being able to penetrate and push your boundaries down in order for them to get what it is that they want. So she ended up having a 6-hour booking with this client at one point in time. So this was many years after, you know, the established relationship, and she got fucked for 6 hours straight. Now, I don't know about you and your own personal life, but being fucked for 6 hours straight renders you useless for a long time after that period. I know that I have engaged in long sex in my own personal life, and I tell you what, I was sore for the next week after that. She actually felt like she couldn't work for another 2 months after that booking, after being fucked for 6 hours straight. And she felt like she had actually lost out more work than she actually invested into this client. She also mentioned that she felt like at chipping away at her self-esteem, he would use social media as a way of getting her to feel jealous or some way about herself. So what he would do is he would overly engage with other sex workers and overly compliment them in order for her to feel like, well, Why aren't you engaging with me? Why are you not, you know, saying those things on my posts? Because he was initially trying to get her jealous to actually want to do more with her, which is a further manipulation process that a lot of clients will do. I do want to mention that this guy was a businessman, so he had a very thorough knowledge on how to, I guess, engage with people in order to get what he wanted. So he knew that, you know, doing acts like that would essentially make her feel a certain way. You know, most human beings will generally feel a certain way after an act. But, you know, there's people like me that generally don't give a fuck. But anyway, there are people out there that generally, you know, react to normal humanly behavior. She had mentioned to me that she felt like the manipulation process started off very small and then gradually increased until she got to a point that she felt like she recognized the fact that she had been manipulated. And throughout our conversation, I did mention, you know, the frog in the pot analogy. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but the frog in the pot analogy is in reference to if you were to put a pot in a cold pot, right, and then increase the temperature very, very gradually, the frog actually won't essentially react to the temperature increasing. It actually will stay in there until it essentially dies. Now, this theory is applicable in this instance because in most manipulative or abusive relationships, most of them never start off quite aggressive to begin with. These are actions and, you know, I guess it's like a chain reaction of behavior that occurs in a small fashion for you not to be able to recognize, you know, that it's actually occurring. I felt like I needed to reassure her to let her know, you know, these are, you know, things that happen in life. These are learning curves. These are things that you can recognize for in the future. But these are very common tactics that are actually done by a lot of educated people that actually know how to extract the information or actions that they want. Oh my God, I just realized that I said pot in a pot. You know what I meant? Put a frog in a cold pot. Fuck! I also want to mention a couple of little things that he said to her as well. Things like, I don't want you to fall in love with me. And she felt that he was really tight-lipped. And it wasn't until she actually opened up to another worker that was actually seeing this client as well that actually verified the manipulation process that she was feeling with this client, because she felt like she had actually experienced the same manipulation as she did. She was able to end the relationship at that point in time, or the clientship, whatever you want to refer it to, and was able to learn from that experience and then further apply that to any type of future experiences. So that was a learning curve for her, which could be potentially prevented by listening to this podcast and knowing what people do. Moving on to the second story, it's the power struggle that she had with, well, this person had with a finance retired client, right? So she initially noticed that the booking process was quite strained. They kept on wanting free time, meaning they wanted to meet prior to having a booking. Now, most sex workers actually have a social booking rate, which means that you can go out in public and you can go do your lunch, dinners, functions, whatever it is in that time frame and not oblige yourself to actually having sex. So this retired finance guy wanted to meet up for a booking, and she thought, you know what, I'll give you 30 minutes of my time in order to establish a regular relationship with this person. So she went on a limb and offered, you know, free 30 minutes of time, which I kind of want to flag at this point that at no time in your career should you ever be issuing free time to anyone for any reason, whatever sob story that they give you. Everyone's got a sob story. I'm sure you've watched Australian Idol. I'm sure you've watched a lot of social kind of interactions on TV, and everyone has a sob story. So don't ever fall for that bullshit. So she ended up going to this lunch or this coffee meetup, so to speak. And he was initially for 30 minutes and she was there for about an hour, and he emotionally dumped graphic information on her about, you know, the way that, you know, his wife passed away in graphic detail on the way that his wife passed away. Also emotionally dumped further baggage onto her, which she actually found quite a burden on her. That 30 minutes to an hour was quite traumatic to this person. And she actually explained to me that, you know, when she actually left that booking, she was like, you know what, I am not wanting to see this person again, but, you know, I could potentially give it a go and see how I'll go with it. So she spoke to the client and said, listen, the booking went longer than the 30 minutes, so I expect that the 30 minutes to be paid. And he actually did pay for those 30 minutes. We'll fast forward to their booking when she initially established a booking process with him. He wanted a dinner date as well as, you know, playtime afterwards. Anyway, so she booked at a hotel to go to, and there was no prior arrangements to say, look, I'll meet you at the foyer at this time. He was supposed to actually message her and say, look, listen, I've arrived at the hotel. Do you want to come get me, or what room am I supposed to go to? He'd actually left his mobile phone at home and was waiting in the foyer for a while, and inevitably actually ended up leaving and going home to get his mobile phone and say, look, listen, I was at the hotel. You weren't there. I thought we had arranged to meet in the foyer. And she's like, no, we never made that arrangement. You were supposed to meet me in the foyer. And then further wasted her time. She could have taken a booking with somebody else, and he inevitably screwed her whole evening. He then started making comments about, I want to take you to a surprise dinner. And, you know, that's not on as a sex worker. There's no surprises in this industry. We actually need to know where we're going, at what time, and be very specific about it for security reasons. And he would use the phrase, just trust me. Now, one thing my father always taught me when I was a child was, when someone says, just trust me, whatever you do, do not trust them. I've just realized I'm halfway through this podcast and I'm nowhere near the end of what I need to say. So we'll move on straight to the next client, even though I have way more to say about that. So client number three was a regular client with this particular person. They had seen him on multiple occasions, and then they dropped off the face of the earth for a couple of years. They ended up resurfacing and messaged the provider and said, look, listen, I've transitioned. I've gone from male to female. I now, you know, identify as a woman, and I would like to come make a booking with you, you know, as a woman. How do you feel about that? And now this person was more than willing to actually see this client, no regard to how they identified. And in fact, from what I know from this person, she much preferred be with women opposed to men. So felt more comfortable being with this person as they identified as a woman. Now, from the initial contact, when she actually seen her for the first time, she actually instantly fell in love with this particular client. She felt somewhat of a connection with them. She was really physically attracted to them. She was already intellectually attracted to this person, so found it easy to be with. She made the cardinal mistake of transitioning a client into their personal space, and what inevitably happened was she decided to see this person, you know, personally and have like a personal relationship with this person. Ended up becoming really good friends, started to see them, you know, for free. You know, she felt conflicted. Am I fucking this person for free? Like, what's going on now? She felt quite lonely, and she felt like she wanted to have a connection with someone, and did that with this particular person. Now, I've mentioned in my previous podcast that you are never to transition a paid client into your private life. It never ends well. It never comes off to the fantasy that you kind of wish that you want from a person. Especially if you're in like a need or a place where you kind of feel like you want more substance in your life. And inevitably, this didn't end well. It ended up her losing out on work. It made her feel like she'd been used. It made her feel like she'd been betrayed. It made her feel, you know, really hard on herself. And she ended up struggling with the end of that relationship, which was quite abrupt, drastically, through her personal life and through her career. And like I said, it never really ends well, but at some point in our careers, we do make those mistakes. We do learn from them. So they're not all negatives. There are positives to learning curves in life, but that's something that I really kind of want to portray to the public, is that regardless of what your intentions are like, it doesn't necessarily mean the outcome's going to be the same or be good in any sense of the word. Sorry, I feel like I rushed through that last story because I'm watching the clock tick away and I'm just trying to move on in this podcast at this point. So I kind of want to move on to the next topic, which is toxic industry peers. And my personal experiences, I've shared them throughout this podcast. I'll also give you a follow-up after I talk about this. But I also want to talk about other girls' experiences with industry peers. I've mentioned this before. This is probably one of the most toxic environments. Girls are constantly competing with each other. They're not running their own race. They feel like every single person in the industry is competition to them, and they need to defeat them in some sense. These particular girls that I had spoken to all said very similar things, and I actually wrote this down in my notes, that girls in the industry like to give fake advice or misleading information to other girls to set them up for a fail. And also, they used a very similar quote saying that they felt like other industry peers were smiling assassins. Now, I'll kind of want to get into these topics a little bit, because things like they may come across as they like giving you really good advice or, you know, tips on the industry or, you know, places to stay or locations to go to, but they're actually, what they're doing is making sure that they, how do I say, in soccer, you know how you elbow someone to try and get forward in life? These girls, or whoever they are shoving elbows into anyone and everyone that they can to set them up for a fail so that they can feel like they're achieving more within the industry. Now, things like saying, oh, you know, this location's really good, you know, it's really good for business, this establishment is also really good for business, I worked with this person because it's really good for business, and they know that it's actually detrimental to their branding and their business, and essentially could diminish someone's self-esteem and confidence. They will do this with purpose. They will do this knowing that they're hoping that you're going to listen to their advice, being the smiling assassin that they are, and hopefully they will get you to fail. Because for some reason, pushing someone down in order to push themselves up makes them feel better about themselves. Honestly, in my lifetime and in you know, my upbringing, never in my life have I felt like I've achieved greatness by pushing other people down. The best race that you win is one where you're not looking at anyone else and you're just trying to beat your own goals. That's the best way to achieve. However, this industry is riddled with smiling assassins. They are riddled with toxic industry peers that thrive off the fact of giving falsified information to people and giving fake, you know, growth skills to their branding in order for them to diminish them. It's fucked. It's shit. And you need to recognize this. Trust no one. Do your own thing. Follow your intuition. Do what's best for you. Do not listen to anyone else. And I've said this before, do not engage with other industry peers at the most extent. At the most extent, do not do it, because I'm telling you right now, the 1%ers out there that genuinely give a fuck about whether you do well don't feel like they need to compete with you. And I'm telling you right now, from my own personal experience and from what I've also heard from other girls in the industry, people that are doing well don't give a fuck about other people. It's the girls that aren't doing well that need to fight other people in the industry, that need to set up other people in the industry. I don't care if they say, oh, listen to Lucy Price, she's talking shit about other industry peers. Yeah, because you deserve it. Because you deserve it. I also want to mention another topic of conversation, that this was actually said about multiple people. So this isn't actually just one story. This is actually multiple experiences in the industry. There have been girls that have wanted to start out in the industry, and they know that, you know, there's other people in the industry that are well established. What they will do is they will befriend them and get to know how to run and function in a business, and, you know, how to use these people as a pusher or as a stepladder to be able to go up and higher in the industry. Now, this is a common occurrence. There have been people that have invested 10 years of friendship in order to gain a step up or a level up in the industry, in order to gain momentum and to gain branding and recognition and even an understanding of how the business is run. Now, a lot of these girls actually mentioned that from these experiences, they've actually learned that, look, I'm willing to give you information and I'm very generous with the amount of information that I like to give my listeners, but to a degree, unless you're on the same level as this person, they're willing to exchange information of the same value. So in a simple context, it would be like, I will give you $10 for $10 back, equally to the same level, and no one's above anyone else in information exchange. Now, I totally agree with this theory, and I totally agree with the fact of, you know, if someone was to approach you and ask you for direct information, information in regards to how to establish yourself in the industry, I want to make sure that you're at the same level as me, because I'm not going to give free information out that I have worked hard and I've worked years to be able to establish this information, because no one else has helped me. Why should I be the one to help them? I feel like I have this sense of responsibility, you know, to help people on a safety level. So whatever information I do give, I do it purely over the precinct of the fact that I don't want them to be in a dangerous situation, or I don't want them to be taken advantage of, or I don't want them to, I know this is jumping the gun, but I don't want them to lose their lives over something like this. I want them to be safe. I want you to be safe. I don't want anyone to be in the positions that I have been with a safety concern in mind. That's my main priority to giving information out to a person. But to talk about branding and to talk about how I got myself into the industry, that stuff I'm only giving out on an exchange basis. But that was also mentioned by a lot of these girls on a broad spectrum. Oh my God, I've hit time already and I have so much more to tell you, but it's going to have to wait until the next episode. So me talking about my stalkers and me talking about how I dealt with that situation and the ramifications of it, and even how I established my own branding and stuff like that, I'm going to have to leave that for the next podcast. I'm so sorry to leave you on a cliffhanger. I fucking hate that shit, but I'm sorry. I'm going to have to end it right now, and I hope you have a really good night. Love you. And on that note, I shall say arrivederci, goodbye. I hope you have a fantastic day, evening, morning, night, whatever it is the fuck that you're doing. I hope you enjoyed your stay. And if you didn't, go fuck yourself. I don't really care, but thanks for the fucking view. Don't forget to follow my Facebook page, or my Instagram, or my Twitter. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this on multiple occasions. And if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to my previous ones. I'm not fucking repeating myself.